The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. I am radio's Gil Alexander. That right there is television's Kelly Bedlin.
Hey, man, we haven't done that one in a while.
No, not for a while.
I like that.
Not for a while. Wednesday, midweek, still the offseason of the NFL season, but NFL preseason week one begins in earnest tomorrow. Today on the show, Will Hill will join us. MLB, NFL, anything on his mind as we head into the preseason and the home stretch. Can we call it the home stretch with 7 weeks left of the Major League Baseball season?
Sure.
Okay. Home stretch, at least the final quarter of the year,
dude,
or the quarter poll.
Talk about one of the bet bash stories of the week that you missed, man.
Oh, what's that?
Will's just gun show, constant gun show anywhere.
Listen, I am aware of a Will Hill gun show.
Yeah, he shocked a lot of people around here.
Yeah.
A lot of people were taken aback.
Taken aback.
Surprised.
I understand. Aback. To actually physically move aback.
They're like, whoa.
Whoa. Yeah, no.
Watch it with those things.
Paul Spohr, Major League Baseball, Nick Whalen. Our own from Prop Points talking NFL with us. And Toddy Wish to have a little later on the show. How about that? After I went off on people yesterday.
Let's go.
I don't even know if Todd heard it.
No idea.
And we'll also do this thing, which I actually think we should start this segment. Was it you or was it Danny who was scouring?
You know what? Usually I like to relent and give a lot of the credit to Danny.
Yeah.
This was all me.
All you?
All me. And this is maybe my favorite market in years.
Danny. You know why you're here, Danny. Danny says in my ear, and you got a little league on the TV. Just for that comment. It will go through NFL season win totals, but not in the way that we are used to. How about a team versus team situation where you can get nice plus prices on teams? We will do that here momentarily because this is one of these things. So it's basically match bets.
Right.
And at first, I will tell you, like, for the first 60 seconds, I was like, well, this is kind of stupid because, you know, everybody knows what these teams' season win totals are. So it's not like you're going to get a magical change, like a team with a 6.5 is going to be favored over a team that's 9.5.
Right.
So the 9.5 is going to be dog. That's not going to happen. And then, then you sort of, it clicks and you're like, oh, this is great. There's a few ways to attack this. So we'll do that here momentarily real quick. Tennis play for today because yesterday's didn't happen. Belinda Bencic was like, ow, my hip. She pulled out.
So literally what she said?
I believe that was a quote.
Ow, my hip.
Ow, my hip. I can't play you, Coco.
Help,
sorry.
I'm falling.
If you are the director, if you're the tournament director in Montreal, Toronto, this is the nightmare tournament of all time.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, because
it's been that bad.
Yeah, there's no Carlitos. There's no Sinner. There's no Djokovic on the men's side. And then, you know, like, any second, like Montreal Max, one of our listeners, loves Vincent. He's there in Montreal, Toronto, driving to go see Bencic and golf. And then he's like, yeah, that's not happening. So they only get one match instead of two. It's been riddled with these kinds of things.
Is this kind of an annual thing? Like before the US Open?
It's starting to feel that way.
Okay.
It's starting to feel that way.
And I mean with the withdrawals, right? For people.
Yeah. These are all clearly like, let me make sure I'm healthy before the US Open. But there's still Cincinnati in between. To answer your question, it feels like it's more than,
okay.
It feels like it's more than
it
ever.
It feels like it's been picking up.
But I am on, so we're going to replace. I will replace Belinda Bencic with Elena Rybakina. We won't tell anybody. Let's see what happens. Elena Rybakina is going to take on Coco Gauff in the semis today. Rybakina beats Osaka yesterday. Coco obviously just gets to stroll through. Rybakina not quite the plus price that Bencic was at plus 140. Rybakina's plus 106 is where I got her on the overnight. I'm not sure what her price is now. Which way is this going?
Seen plus 110.
Yeah, a little money on Coco.
Which I kind of went to go check just because. What did you have yesterday on Bencic plus 140?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only a 30 cent difference between
those
two players?
Okay. Makes sense. And in this case, it's largely informed by the fact that Coco's rested. Coco didn't have to play.
Oh, good call. Okay.
So, and Rybakina had a three-setter. So, I'm on Rybakina, though. The numbers tell me to. Plus 106 versus Coco in one of the semis. Iga's in the other semi against Svitolina. But that's the one tennis play today. Nothing on the men's side for me. So, that's the lone tennis play. Baseball, August, the Tigers. They beat the Guardians, first game of the three-game set last night in Detroit. 6-4 Tigers, runners at second and third for the Guardians. Ground ball, out. They stave off the comeback from the Guardians. Tigers win again. Tigers are 7-2 with a plus 39 run differential in the month of August. But there are three teams that have more wins than them. The Rays are now 9-1. The Rays are feasting on the Athletics in Sacramento. Get them out of Sacktown already.
The Rays, who just never go away.
Well, this is also why I said, you know, when I was doing the Red Sox in July, I also said I wouldn't bet them to win the division. I'd more likely bet them to win the pennant. Rays 9-1 on the month. Cubbies, who were my second choice, 8-2 on the month. And the Padres, 8-3 on the month. Those three teams with more wins than the Tigers, who have played fewer games than all those teams. But that's just how the cookie crumbles for now. But we're doing well. By the way, trivia question. Who has the best run differential this season now in the American League?
Is it the Tigers?
The Detroit Tigers.
Right into that?
Okay. The Detroit Tigers.
I mean, look at that sweet, sweet run diff in August.
The still sub 500, just barely now, Detroit Tigers, who are a half game out of the wild card and 2.5 out of the division now. And again, this is played out again with the monthly bets. And I hope everybody heard when it was Dustin and Kelly and they were kind enough to invite me on. The whole thing with this was just like with the Cubs. I know that's weird.
It's still
right?
Awkward. So still,
thanks for having me on my show,
still
buddy.
Still the weirdest guest spot we've ever done.
is the strategy with the Cubs 2 months ago and the strategy with the Red Sox last month was the schedule was super easy on the front end. The Cubs didn't take advantage of it and still ended up 16-10 in June, but couldn't get there because they didn't take advantage of the soft side at the beginning of the month. The Red Sox obviously took advantage of both the soft side and the hard side afterwards. It was never really that hard for the Red Sox, that schedule. And the Tigers are doing exactly that with the front side, the weaker side of the schedule. Eventually, they'll run into the Dodgers by the end of the month. But on the softer side of the schedule, they are taking advantage of it. And that is a massive key to the bet, too, because especially with them being on the outside looking in, they needed that to happen for them to still be engaged and try to make the playoffs, which, again, I will stand by that unlike 2 years ago when they traded Jack Flaherty to the Dodgers where they had no intention of making the playoffs and still did, this year they knew the only responsible thing to do was to trade Skubal and then Mize. And I said, when I was on with you guys, this is not retroactive, I said, they will attempt to thread the needle on this year. They will still attempt to make the playoffs. And here we are, the Tigers locked in. Again, huge opportunity for them next two nights. Again, against the Guardians, or today, and I should say tonight and tomorrow, daytime game against the Guardians. Today, it's Valdez against Foster Griffin, who came over from the Nats, pitching for the Guards today. And then it's three games at home against the White Sox. So before, if this works out for the Tigers, not only does it help our division bet, but they will make themselves a playoff team on the inside looking out, or perhaps even a division leader by the end of this week. We'll see. Best run differential in the American League, the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That was the I love the little side stats you provide for that too. So like the run differential, and then yep. It's with that many wins and a 0-0 record in one score games is a good feeling too. Like, hey, these haven't even been close.
Yeah, it's been great so far, so good. It's a long way. It's only August 12th, right? It's good to collapse still, but so far so good. Okay, back to that NFL favorite season win total match bets. Yes. So Kelly's a scourer. He found these. These were at DraftKings.
Yeah, DraftKings. You gotta go. That's the only spot I could find them.
You go under the NFL, obviously. Then you go under the wins tab. And then there's another tab under that. That I believe it's called match wins.
Futures wins more wins than.
More wins than. Thank you. More wins than. So the beauty of this is you can, I'll do it sort of macro. You can sort of attack this three ways. You can find a team that you believe is going to outperform the market, obviously, and sort of ride that team against others, pick on a team, or cherry pick just a specific matchup. I've sort of done all these. We'll revisit these later in the show. But I believe the Atlanta Falcons, like I think Will Hill does, like you may as well.
Yeah.
I believe the Falcons are, to me, if all goes well with all the teams in the NFC South, I think the Falcons actually have the most talent, despite where they are placed in the market.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So I looked to match the Falcons against other teams. So this is, again, who ends up with more wins? Falcons, plus 140 against the Giants to end up with the most wins by the end of the season. Falcons, against teams within their own division if I think the Falcons are going to be better. And I picked purposely a soft division like the NFC South, the softest of them all, consensus, to go with this. Whatever team you decide, it doesn't have to be the Falcons. Maybe you think it's the Saints.
Right.
But for me, it's the Falcons plus 160 versus the Saints. The Falcons plus 170 versus the Buccaneers. And I don't think so highly of the Steelers this year post-Tomlin. Falcons plus 190 against the Steelers. So I just rode several Falcons bets on that at very generous plus prices. And again, you're not going to get a 9.5 as a dog against a 6.5. But what you will often get is teams with a similar or an exact same season win total where the juice differs, right? And you can then exploit this market rather than play those. By the way, the Steelers, speaking of that, I sort of picked on them, right? I went Falcons plus 190 versus the Steelers. I went Colts plus 140 versus the Steelers because I think there's a world where that happens. And then, to me, the cherry pick of all the cherry picks for me is the Seahawks plus 175 versus the Rams. And I know everybody thinks the Rams, you know, by all projections, oh, best team in the NFL. Absolutely. Aaron Donald now, perhaps, right? All this stuff, obviously, on the heels of the Myles Garrett acquisition. Rams, 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 Rams. This just in, I think people are completely underrating the defending Super Bowl champion Seahawks heading into this season. Because I think by the end of the year, Mike McDonald is going to have those guys just at full capacity. And I would have no surprise if the Seahawks ended up with a tick of a better record than the Rams.
Yeah, me either. And I feel like the other way of looking at these is push, right? There is push equity, right? I feel like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll throw one other real quick. I'll get to mine later. But Bills over Patriots at minus 110. It's just another way to play a division.
Or another way to play it. Love it. We'll get into that a little more. Coming back on a numbers game right here at Visa. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football is back. Some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both of our NFL and college football betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You'll also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks. Plus, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99. It's $9.99. Or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I don't know if this qualifies as breaking news. Certainly not betting news. But it is breaking news in the world of sports. You see the Lakers?
Yeah, pretty incredible.
So last October, Mark Walter bought the Lakers for $10 billion.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
This past October.
Past October, it says, right? Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
For $10 billion. Ramona Shelburne now reporting that the Los Angeles Lakers are being sold again to American businessman Josh Kushner, that's Jared's brother, and Bob Iger of Disney fame. Is it Iger of Disney fame? Yeah. For a record-breaking price of over $12 billion. Multiple sources told ESPN. So basically, the previous owner flipped it from 10 to 12 billion like that, like flipping a house. Kushner and Iger were involved in the... Now, here's the interesting little quirk to this for those of us in Vegas. Kushner and Iger were involved in the expansion process in Las Vegas, but in a stunning turn, they pivoted to make an aggressive offer to buy the Lakers from Mark Walter, who had purchased a controlling interest in the team from the Buss family last year. So the Busses, right, the Buss family owned it for all of our lives.
Yeah.
And then last year it was sold famously, and then a flip to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger. Hey, I bought it for $10 billion, but I'll sell it to you for over $12 billion.
I swear to God, it's the part of the story I can't get over. Just the different worlds that we live in.
And if you,
Mark Walter's like, man, let me make a quick two bill.
These guys live in a very different world than you and I.
It's incredible.
Yeah, but it's, you know, Ramona Shelburne says in a stunning turn, right? But if you're Josh Kushner and Bob Iger and you're dreaming of an expansion team in Las Vegas, but all of a sudden you find out the Lakers are available, I don't know how stunning that is.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think that's in any way. I could be completely wrong about this, but I don't think that is in any way a negative for a Vegas potential expansion team. I'm sure someone else will be happy to fill that void.
Yeah, no, I think you're reading it the same way that I would. Just like, okay, the Lakers became available. That's a pretty historic franchise to be able to go out and say you own.
Yeah. Not known as when Walter bought the team, the Buss family kept a minority ownership stake of roughly 15%. So I'm not sure what the story is with the Buss family here, but
yeah, I think Jeannie was still the chairperson or something of the team, which is significant.
She was the team's governor.
Governor.
Managing day-to-day operations while Walter became the majority owner and alternate governor, whatever that means in the structure. But no longer. Josh Kushner and Bob Iger, step on up.
There's so many things where we could like read into this too far. Like Mark Walter, not sold on Luka Doncic. Did not want to be part of the Luka Doncic business at all.
Or as soon as LeBron was, LeBron's rumored.
LeBron's out, I'm out.
He out, I'm out. By the way, and let me just say this last note on this. $12 billion, or in Washington Commanders football terms, double the Commanders.
It's incredible.
That's it. That's unbelievable for a basketball team.
It's billionaires flipping houses. Like, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Just like, big, quick $2
billion? I mean,
it's not a bad year.
I did buy this for $10 billion a couple minutes ago, but sure.
And you know those negotiations lasted for like a month, too. It was like 11.1. No, 11.2. 11.3.
It's amazing. Major League Baseball, I alluded to it with the Tigers specifically because that's our bet in August. Tigers half game out of the wild card, 2.5 out of the division. If we look at make miss playoffs now on some of these teams,
these are tight.
Well, look, I mean, here's the AL wild card race. So right now the Yankees inhabit the number one wild card. Remember the format, first of all, for those who need the refresher, the way that baseball works now, three division winners get in, and three wild card, the next three best teams. And it is incentivized for everybody to be the number one or two of those three division winners because you get the first round bye. If you're the third division winners, you are still subjected. A third division winner is still subjected to a first round best of three, against one of the wild cards. Second round is best of five, correct? It's 3-5 and then 7. 3-5-7-7 in terms of how the MLB playoff structure works. So right now the Yankees inhabit the number one wild card position behind the Rays. They're in the AL East. So it's the Yankees in first, number one wild card position. Red Sox, number two wild card position, despite a 4-game losing streak.
They suck.
They stink at baseball. It's of no consequence
to us.
Well,
look at that home record.
It's of no consequence to us now after July. Red Sox actually sub-500 at Fenway. Rangers are the number three wildcard position with a 500 record, 60-60 through 120 games. Tigers, half game out. Twins, a game and a half out. Guardians and O's, the Birds, both 2 games out of the number three wildcard position. So it is just a scrum in the American League. And I will say this, as much as I love the Tigers, again, and there was a reason we made the bet, the Yankees to me are still the best team in the American League at full strength, and I don't think the margin is that thin. Like, I think the Yankees at full strength is still big time the best team. Now, when is Aaron Judge coming back? We don't know. Beginning of September, middle of September. I mean, we don't have that much time left. There's less than 7 weeks left in the regular season. Mm-hmm. So at some point, we're going to know this, but we don't know exactly when. So here are the odds to make the playoffs in the American League with that as a backdrop. Obviously, you see the Rays leading the AL East. They're the Yankees, prohibitive favorites. Red Sox now. Remember just a little while ago how everybody had written them off right at the beginning of the month of July. They were way below 500. Now they're minus 1,100 to make the playoffs. Right, again, right now in the number two wildcard position. Okay, White Sox, who lead the AL Central, but only lead it by 2.5 over Detroit. Remember, they have a 3-game set this week. They're minus 155. Astros currently leading the AL West are minus 155. Rangers minus 125. Remember, they're in the number three wildcard position. They still have designs on the AL West, and there are your Tigers. Tigers are still dogs to make the playoffs. Plus 155. And then everybody else. The clearly most disappointing team in the everybody else, I think, by expectation, is the Mariners. I think most people would agree with that. Remember, I had the Mariners in May. And I remember Todd Wishnev saying to me before, he said, you're going to be so frustrated by this team. And I was. And they ended up having a good month, but they still were never in it. Plus 370 on the Mariners to make the playoffs, if you still believe. Is there a bet there? What's the best bet? I think the Tigers at plus 155 is the best bet there. I mean, it's only plus 155. I'm not going crazy over it, but I think it's the best bet on the board.
Do you think the Red Sox have firmly planted themselves as one of the top AL teams? And like, there's not a question about this, because 7-1 on them to miss the playoffs is kind of sticking out to me. There's a lot of games left to play.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I was very consistent with that. I said best record in July. I wouldn't bet them to win the division, but if they can sneak into the playoffs, that's going to be a tough out for teams with that back end of the bullpen.
I mean, you got
with Whitlock and Chapman.
Between Rangers, who are in that final wild card spot, and then there are five teams 2.5 games back or less. Like, one stumble by Boston, they all of a sudden get back in this mix with these other teams.
Yeah, I mean, they still got 3 against the Rays. They still got 3 against the Cubs, 4 against the Yankees, 3 against the Diamondbacks. If you think the Marlins are good, 3 against them, 3 against the Rangers. I mean, they have a slightly harder than middling schedule remaining the rest of the way. And again, now is the time of year where schedule analysis actually matters, right?
Guardians easiest remaining. So for those maybe looking at them, that's a little interesting.
The Guardians have had the easiest remaining schedule now for a long time, for a few weeks already. This has been the case. I have stayed consistent about them. I don't think they're any good at baseball. It's finally manifesting. They're 4 games below 500. Die, Guardians, die. So for me, again, you're right, though. They have the easiest by win percentage, right? Aggregate win percentage of their remaining opponents. It is by margin, by a good amount, right? 458 aggregate win percentage of their remaining opponents. 3 against the Angels, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the Athletics. 6 against the Royals, 3 against the Giants, 3 against the Jays. I mean, it's laid out for them, but they're not that good. What Adam Burke said the other day, I believe is correct. Jose Ramirez, it feels like Jose Ramirez came back too soon. And I get it. They wanted him back. And I remember saying, you know, to Will on Should Have Bet More podcast, his podcast, if they can stay above 500 before he gets back, that'll be a feat. And they did. And then as soon as he got back, they kind of have gone into the tank. So we'll see. There's a long way to go, though. Again, 6.5 weeks of baseball left. But to me, that's the best. By the way, NL.
It's crazy, too.
Not quite as much of a scrum, though, right? Except for the fact that there are 4 teams fighting for... If you throw the Marlins, Cardinals, and Nationals out, which maybe I shouldn't, right? Because the Marlins are 2.5 out, Cardinals are 3.5 out. That feels like a chasm in terms of talent, though, between them and... The 4 teams. I have the Cubs are well ahead of the other wild card teams.
Yeah, 3 fighting for 2 spots.
Diamondbacks, Padres, Phillies. 3 teams fighting for 2 spots. The easiest of those schedules remaining belongs to the Diamondbacks, I believe.
That's another one.
Yes.
The Phillies, no price, is a little interesting to me.
Actually, Padres slightly.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget about the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more on your screen, sharpplays.com. We get tweets. Did I Ron Burgundy through these? See what happens here? Kelly Shrek McPhee, he says, what is going on with these leagues? NBA has had how long for the Kawhi decision? Now the NFL wants to punish Puka 3 weeks before week 1? LOL, what are we doing? Puka dealing with a groin injury, by the way.
Yeah.
In addition,
I kind of read into that similarly yesterday, though. Did you see that, like, where he was, I don't know, he like left the field with training staff? I don't know, it felt awkward. But right. Yeah, they said groin afterwards, so we'll see.
There's
a couple players that could be dealing with that in the NFL here before we kick off.
Brian Point Schaefer. Gil, I'm surprised you're not advocating for the over in the Athletics home games this season like you did last year. Small ballpark, bad pitching, wind gusts, and the A's can swing it a little. You're right, Brian. I thought about that the other day, too. I was like, why haven't I been seizing in on this as much as last year? I think last year was just a new thing and been locked into other things this year more. But you're right. You watch them against the Rays this way. It's just like it's BP out there for the Rays. Specifically, LFC title records. Almost made it through a segment without Kelly mentioning the Bills or Josh Allen. So close.
Almost.
Almost.
Was going to get that in before the break. Don't worry.
Civil Pink going to the tennis in Cincinnati tomorrow. Do you have any bets for me? I have not gotten to Cincinnati yet. Not yet. But I will be handicapping tonight. Joe C., our buddy. The top one percenters. WTF, he says. Flip something a year later and make $2 billion. This is unreal. They're playing with Monopoly money.
Yes, it's amazing. Love it.
Limited everywhere. You lose LeBron, you're instantly worth billions more. Guess Bronny's the true star in Money Grab. Sorry, Philly fan.
Keep them coming. There's a lot of quality jokes here that can be made.
Yeah. Let's see. And then LFC Title Records added, he goes, first segment came down to the wire before Kelly mentioned Bills or Josh Allen. Only took two segments before Gil made a death wish. Oh, I said die, Guardians. Die. A numbers game, bingo card, filling in perfectly. He's a Lakers fan. Let's see if he's affected by the flipping of the team. It's Will Hill, everybody, the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, where you can access wherever you get your podcasts. He does three of them a week. And as everybody learned last week at Bet Bash, his arms are bigger than yours. Will, good morning.
Boys, what's going on? Yeah, what a surprising bit of news that is. It's nice, a year and you just pick up $2.5 billion. That's a nice little scoop. I did see Walter, I guess, reportedly had a stroke not too long ago, so maybe that's related to it, where he just wants less off of his plate.
Yeah,
I know some people a little snarky on Twitter saying, "Wow, you know, you can't sign these guys for $70 million and defer 69 of it like you do in Major League Baseball." So they just got out when it was too tough, but. We'll see here. That is very, very surprising news to say the least.
Health issues will obviously change your plans. That's for sure. All right, Will, let's start with Major League Baseball. You have jumped on the Tigers as well in a certain way. How are you playing them?
First off, I like them today. I think this is a playable number at home with Valdez on the mound against Foster Griffin. Little negative regression, I think, in the cards here for Griffin, who was traded over from the Nationals a couple of weeks ago at the deadline. And just playing the hot hand, the better lineup. I think the pitching match is a bit of a wash. I'm going to play Detroit here today for the game. And, boy, I think they're getting in the playoffs. Now, do you want to go plus 250 division? You've certainly missed some much larger, some much fatter prices. But you know what? You got to play the ball where it lies. It's you're also a few games closer than you've been. And that was something you and I were texting about last week. Odds to get the sixth seed. I kind of like Baltimore 8-1. You said, man, if I had to bet anything, I'd bet Detroit at 14-1. That 14 is no longer there. Yeah. It's still plus 800. If you think Yankees and the Red Sox pencil them in at 4-5, the sixth spot is where the last wild card. I mean, the sixth spot is always where the last wild card comes from, but that's the spot that's open. Detroit at plus 800. I think that's, again, you've missed the best numbers, but got to play where it lies. I don't think that's a bad bet, but I think plus 155 to make the playoffs, where you're still getting plus money and you don't pick the wrong one. Well, I picked them to win the division. They got the wild card or vice versa. So I think you could play around with the numbers and find the bet you like, but I'll just call it plus 155 to make the playoffs. I think they're getting in. That lineup was not affected by the Schoolboy and Mize trade. And you've got Framber Valdez, you've got Troy Melton, and you've got Jackson Jobe, who was a third or fourth pick in the draft. They still got plenty of talent. Those other teams do not scare me at all. The White Sox, you just keep waiting for that other shoe to drop. They have not played great the last couple of weeks. So I think it's going to be Detroit, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won the division.
Yeah, I said those words exactly when I was talking about them for August, which is Scoopel trade or Mize or whatever doesn't affect their expected weighted on-base offense, which is fifth in all of baseball. The fact that they have a plus, I'll say it again, it's just incredible, a plus 89 run differential.
Insane.
Is insane. One game below 500, and what that means essentially is that they ought to be, you know, someone like 10 games above 500. Like, that's really the type of baseball team they are. Now, part of that 10 above had to do with Schoobel and Mize, but you get the idea. It's a far better baseball team than was reflected in their record. And that obviously informs many of these bets as well. Your Yankees. This is, again, we're talking to a guy who is a, let's give you the Will Hill resume.
Oh, come on.
He's a Yankees fan. He's a Lakers fan. And then just to throw us off a little, instead of being a Cowboys fan, he's like, okay, I'll be a Vikings fan. Maybe it'll take him off the scent.
Well, quarterback news.
Oh, yes. We'll get to that. Your Yankees against the Mariners tonight. Yankees are a pretty small favorite. You playing them?
I like the under 8.5 here. I don't think you can go wrong here until the Yankees get back on track or just back healthier offensively playing the unders, because it's a good pitching staff. It's a good bullpen, even though you look at the numbers, it's one of the better bullpens in baseball. It doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like when Boone goes to the bullpen, you got many guys as a Yankee fan that you trust or you like. You know, Duvall was a disaster. Thanks for him, Gilly, by the way. We got him
welcome
out of there.
You're very
welcome. Bednar's been pretty good. There's not many guys you trust, but Mariners can't really hit either. So Yankees, a neuter lineup. And I actually like the new look lineup with Lombard, Spencer Jones. There's a little more life, a little more youth. Anytime you bring up a young player, especially one that's athletic with some speed, it gives your team a little jolt. But man, getting to four or five runs for them is an absolute chore. And they've got, again, they got good pitching. Mariners can't hit. So under 8.5, I think unders on Yankees until further notice is probably a good way to play it. So I'm playing the under 8.5 here tonight.
But you agree with the premise, though, that once they are at full strength, and specifically with Judge, aren't they the best team in the American League, though, at that point? Especially in the playoffs where you can throw somebody into the bullpen like Warren.
Yes, but that doesn't mean, I mean, they are the favorite by the betting odds. First off, just penciling Judge in, all right, let's say he's back. He's been out a while. It sounds like they're going to have to really thread the needle of not bringing him back too soon and getting re-injured, but having enough rehab time and ramp up time. Remember, he hasn't been doing much. He hasn't been cleared for activity. So I don't know if he's like lifting weights, swinging a bat. To just expect him to just start hitting 100 miles an hour fastball in the bleachers like we expect Aaron Judge to, that's delicate. And they're probably going to have to go through the wild card round, the best 2 out of 3. So all of those obstacles, I would say I'm certainly not betting on them at that price, but that's a loaded team with Schwitler, Fried, and Cole, and a healthy version of that lineup. That's the best team, but those obstacles that I mentioned are real.
They are, but let's put it this way. So I know I said before, so the Tigers, again, based on Pythag, run differential, in other words, plus 89, the best in the American League. I said that they should be 10 games above 500. That's not what I spoke incorrectly. They should be 10 games better than they are, which means that they should be 19 games above 500, right? Instead of 59 and 60, they should be 69 and 50. Like, that's how good the Tigers ought to be. And that's exactly the record that the Yankees ought to be, which is almost exactly what the Yankees' record actually is. The difference is, you just pointed out, I still can't get past that starting pitching difference now without Skubal and without Mize would be, as you said, Fried, Schlittler, I don't know, Cole, maybe even Rodon, but those guys against piecing together Job, Melton, and Framber Valdez. Like, that ultimately becomes the difference. So it's fun, though, because that's what makes baseball great. A team that completely is what they ought to be, waiting for reinforcements, than another team that is far worse than they ought to be in the Tigers. You have one more. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it could be a rematch, the 4-5 of last year. Yankees, Red Sox, best 2 out of 3. Remember, in the best 2 out of 3, they don't flip home fields. It's one team. It's the higher seed gets all 3 games if necessary at home. And right now, Yankees is the 4, Red Sox is the 5. It's very possible. That would be a lot of fun there, late September, early October, whenever that starts. But yes, I do have one more baseball play. I love what the Cubs did. I love what the Cubs did at the deadline. They can hit. They can feel. They just needed some pitching, and they got it. I think those guys they got fit like a glove. Kevin Gausman, I know Holmes was bad his first start and he got roughed up, but those are guys that keep the ball on the ground. Gausman, there's a little positive regression in his numbers, I think, coming. Zephyr Hahn, the reliever from the Angels. Garrett, I think, was a nice little lottery ticket from the Marlins. He's got ability. 15-1 to be the one seed. Yeah. They're only 4 back in Milwaukee. They play Milwaukee 7 times between now and September 9th. I think the Cubs are live here. That's a really good team, a really dangerous team, and good on both sides of the ball.
I love the bet. I'm smiling because my instinct is this has all the makings of a Willie special where it's a great bet that ends up like a game shy in the end.
Wouldn't be the first or last time.
Wouldn't be the first or last. But you're right. They play the Brewers 7 times. Brewers currently on top. Of course, obviously, the Dodgers are flying the ointment. The Braves are flying the ointment. There's others to get by, but that's a nice price. 15-1, you said, to be the number one seed on the Cubbies?
At FanDuel, 15-1 at FanDuel.
Okay, shop around as always on this. More with Will Hill on the other side. He's got football thoughts. We'll ask him about Kyler Murray starting for the Vikings. I'd like to say a few words about Kyler Murray.
MVP?
Well, I'm not going to say those words, or those letters. But I do think that he's like one of these players that in our mind, people like the instinct is to like sort of giggle. He's a lot better than people think when he's healthy. Question is, can he stay healthy? Coming back, more with Will on a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Jamie Leva has tweeted and he said, in honor of Kelly, I will refer to the opening segment of ANG as just the tip. Thank you, and I will see myself out.
Good job, Jamie.
That's what I love about one of the great things about Numbers Game listeners, too. It's like a ongoing soap opera. Day's news from yesterday will always seep into the next day. That's a whole thing from yesterday. More rich, just to update the rich man news from the Lakers. So Mark Walter flips the team in 10 months from $10 billion to $12.5 billion. So in other words, a 25% return on his investment. And when you have nine zeros working for you, that's pretty good.
We did just say 12 the first couple times we said this, right?
Well, they said 12 plus, over 12 million. Well, 12 and a half.
Like we just easily lose a half billion dollars.
He also is under investigation for alleged tax fraud as well.
Yes.
I wonder if that's part
of the... Which is like the ultimate rich man story as I was reading up on it during the break.
Yeah, he's
two life insurance companies connected with Walters that, I don't know, work for him and control other parts of the company. Who knows?
Oy vey schmears. Sounds legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Hernandez at Toe Knee Hernandez on Twitter. See what he did there instead of spelling out Tony? See what he did? Because there's other Tony Hernandezes, so he went with Toe Knee, as in your body parts. He says, I think KOC has made the right decision for now on choosing Kyler versus number nine. He won't even use his name. Is it me or does it seem like JJ's acting like he is owed something? If you can become a better teammate, maybe things can turn around in the future. I don't know. I wish we had a Vikings fan on with us right now. Oh, yes, we do. Will Hill rejoins us for another segment. Will, what do you think about the whole JJ situation? Where do you stand?
I never thought this was really a serious quarterback battle. I thought as long as Murray was upright and healthy, he was going to play. He's clearly the better player. And he's had moments where he's been a top 10-ish quarterback in the NFL. And he's, like you said, a polarizing player. People know the video games, the lack of height. Our old buddy Michael Lombardi used to call him the mayor of Munchkinland, which is an ode to a Sopranos nickname for one of the characters. Look, he's hurt. Video games, leadership, all of those things. There's fair questions about him, but just look what the Vikings did last year. They were over 500. They had horrendous, horrendous quarterback play and still went 9-8. You just need him to be okay. B minus, C plus, similar to Darnold a couple years ago, where you bring him in and he's got a good defense to complement him. He's got good weapons, receivers. Flores is a good coach. KOC, O'Connell, I think, is a little overrated as a coach, but Flores is tremendous. He's in a good environment. They avoid the Seahawks. They avoid the Rams. I know everyone likes Detroit to bounce back, but I'm not sure how good they are defensively. The Bears, there's some regression probably with their turnovers. The Packers, we'll see. And the Vikings play the Packers week one, and that's, Parsons isn't going to be back there. I think things break well, and I'm usually not high on them. I did not think they're going to be good last year. I think Minnesota has a chance. Now, Murray gets hurt. It all goes out the window. McCarthy's back. Their season's shot. But if Murray's healthy, and as long as he's healthy, which is a concern, I think they're going to be really, really good. A little over 5-1 to win the division. And I'm going to whisper this. I don't want to say this out loud. 22-1 to be the one seed. I think Minnesota's got some upside here. I know.
Let me give you the Kyler Murray. If Kyler Murray resume, when healthy, 2021, finished the season 7th in passing DVOA, 3rd in accuracy rate. When he was fully healthy in 2024, Murray finished 12th in passing DVOA. And his 11.9% DVOA, this is Aaron Schatz's numbers, was just below Sam Darnold's amazing season with the Vikings at 12.4%. And that figure doesn't even account for what Murray adds on the ground, right? So that's a whole separate part of his game. And throw in the fact that that dude, meaning Kyler Murray, has never had receivers like this, right? Mm-hmm. A trio of receivers, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Juwan Jennings. I mean, again, to just buttress your point, there is a trajectory, or there's a scenario where this goes really well. We'll see. See if we can stay on the field.
I don't mind the aim high play too of the one seed. I think this, like, if this works out, we're talking about a brutally tough division, right? I'm with you on the Vikings. I think Kyler's a big addition here. If you're talking about in contention for the NFC North, you're in contention, I think, that you're talking about for the NFC one seed. So yeah, I think if you're making Vikings bets, I would be aiming at those tail end high ends.
Yeah, the detractor part, as I've said before, is can you expect Brian Flores to every year put out like a top 3-5 defense? At some point, you would think maybe it doesn't happen. But you know what? I've said that in previous years, and he keeps doing it. So we'll see on that. Will, you wanted to say a word or two about Bet Bash. First of all, let me ask you a question. How, because people want to know. I don't know if you've addressed this.
Yeah.
How are you in the weight room every day with the arms? What's the story?
I try to. I've been slumping a little bit recently, being in Vegas, traveling. I'm going to get back on the routine, but okay. I've put on a couple pounds in recent weeks, months, years, but I've got to get back on it. But I'm in there. I try to stay in decent shape. But Bet Bash, man, we missed you. It was great. Got to have a drink with Kelly. You know, Drew Dinsick. Who else is there? Andy Molitor, Matt Brown. It just I could list 100 people that I know through this, through a camera or through Twitter. Vinny Maliulo, Chris Andrews. It was so nice to just have human interaction and watch a game together, have a bet together, have a drink together. And it's funny because gambling Twitter can be such a contentious, feisty place.
No.
And then you meet people and everyone's, I love the show, love the podcast. It's great. And it's such a different feel. Twitter is just, it's not real life sometimes. It was great. I really, honestly, I was not that I was like not looking forward to going, but I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to. And I was kind of on the outskirts of it. We did a Bear Bets podcast as one of the panels, and most of my interactions were just, doing the VEASAN shows, coming out of the studio, and then you just run into people and see people, and it's I can't tell you much enough how much I enjoyed it. It was great. It really was.
It's an awesome endorsement for Bet Bash. Kelly had a great one too, which is just like that. And you'll correct me if I'm saying it wrong. I'll paraphrase, which is that conference can be whatever you want it to be. If you want to be there to learn, you can be that person. If you want to be there to just hang out, drink, whatever, you can be that person, or you can do some balance of both. But I really do, and I was not there, as you said, but from just getting reactions from everybody, it felt like this year was the most fun had by everybody and like the most satisfaction everybody had from it in what is now his sixth Bet Bash. That was the sixth Bet Bash.
Yeah.
Five here in Vegas, one in Jersey.
I haven't been to every one of them. It just felt like everybody was more on the same page this year with that type of stuff, kind of knowing that what you were there for, there were going to be opportunities for you to have a good time.
And the Bear Bets Pod live went well?
Yeah, it was fun. It was good to do it in person. And that was something I enjoyed. And again, I can't, Joe Pita, another person I got to meet again, yes. I'm sitting here just naming people, but it was fun. It really was. I wish you were there, but, it's fun to, by the way, kids, my kids who are young got kicked out of their first bar, tried to sneak them into that little party at Naked City. I forget which one of the guys, I don't want to call anyone out. Might've been Sammy Peason. Bring your wife, kids. It'll be fine. They walk in immediately. Hey, get out. It's not fine. Get the hell out of here.
Let me guess. It was daughter number two that started the uprising for the kids.
Oh, it was just the entrance. What kind of bar does not allow 3-year-olds in there? Come on.
It's really ridiculous.
It's maybe a place kids shouldn't be allowed. Yeah.
remind us, are you a big preseason guy in the NFL? Do you bet it heavy?
I do like betting it. It's tough because there's so many line movements where, yesterday, and it's all obviously based on the information, Drake May not playing for the Patriots. The line goes from Colts getting a point or two to now the Colts are laying 2.5 or 3. And it's hard to sit here, well, you're not playing May, so I'm going to lay the 3 with the Colts. It moves so quickly now that it's tough and it's a lot of work. I know you don't bet it as much as from memory, I don't think you're a big preseason bettor, but if you're doing the homework, if you're in, I try to stay on top of it. You can certainly get some good numbers, but it is work. And it's very hard. I will say this. I think it's probably the best way to put it. It's hard from a content perspective because the good numbers just get gobbled up so quickly.
Agree. It's hard from a content perspective. And as I said a couple days ago, just because you may not, and it might not be your thing. And I think it's perfectly valid to say, oh, I'm too busy to do, it doesn't interest me. I'm too busy to do it. Whatever the case, doesn't mean it's not like a super profitable thing for folks. And I think people have to make that distinction, because if you are locked in and you're ahead of, again, I'll quote the Drew Dinsick numbers because they can't be quoted enough. If you get ahead of lines, so this is 1,100 game subset that he did before last season, 1,100 game subset, 447 of those games qualify. Games that moved more than a point prior to kickoff of a preseason game, 447 game sample size. If you got ahead of the move, you hit 65% ATS. Let's say you missed the move entirely. And again, I could feel Fezzik's head explode off his body. Let's say you moved it entirely. Let's say you waited till after the move and you bet him, which you should never do in anything ever. And I would never dispense that advice. But in preseason, just between you and me, you'd still be hitting at 58% ATS. That's how ridiculous it is.
Wow. Those are remarkable numbers.
Yeah, it's a Googling contest, right? That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And then even
Twitter's big for it. And the coaches will tell you, hey, my guys are playing, my guys are not playing. The coaches will be honest with you. And that's big, but you got to put the work in. It's, some of it's not even the work. It's just being nimble and having Twitter open and following the beat writers, all things like that.
Being nimble. I like it. Will, thanks so much. Thanks for avoiding the arms question.
See you guys.
Well. Appreciate that. Will Hill,
thanks
by the
for
way,
having me. See ya.
Name of the podcast is Shoulda Bet More.
It's a great one. Check it out.
Shoulda Bet More. We usually have the QR code on the screen for people to just scan, but apparently we're not doing that for Will today. Thank you, Will. At not the Will Hill on Twitter for Shoulda Bet More as well. Coming back on a numbers game right here at 2.